Hello, I'm Kerry Stewart. Welcome to Encounter and the suburb of Auburn, which is just 20 kilometres west of the Sydney CBD. In the main street, there are shop signs in English, as well as Chinese and Arabic and Turkish. Across the road, there's a group of African men having an animated conversation in the winter sunshine. Someone selling almonds on the corner. There are women dressed in hijab walking by, and even a few in black niqab. And there's a wonderful smell of sweets and breads being baked. Auburn has the highest percentage of refugees in New South Wales and has been officially declared a refugee welcome zone by the local council. This is Refugee Week, so we'll be finding out how local community groups are helping new arrivals to settle and get on with their neighbours here. Auburn is one of the most culturally and religiously diverse local government areas in Australia. There are 42 Christian churches, 7 mosques or Muslim prayer centres, a Buddhist temple, a Baha'i centre, and the oldest Hindu temple in Australia. So today, we're going to talk to some of the people of faith who are working to promote tolerance and cultivate understanding between different religious groups.
Auburn is an amazing, eclectic, rich and asset-filled community. This community and the communities that live here have a strength. If I want a graphic designer, I've got 10 to choose from who live just in Auburn Central. If I want a cinematographer, I've got 2 to choose from who just live in Auburn Central. If I want a PhD agriculturalist, I've got, you know, this is just Auburn Central. And that's only 474 apartments. I mean, there are challenges, but I think that what we need to do, not just in the community sector, but in local government and state and federal government agencies, is see places like Auburn as the very building blocks to be able to achieve anything that they want to call multiculturalism.
Auburn gets a bit of a bad rap, especially in the media. I always feel completely safe in Auburn. I have no issues. I think there is issues internally with certain community groups of gangs and that kind of stuff. But I think that Auburn is an exciting place, and I don't think it's as violent or as dangerous as what it's perhaps represented to be.
And it is good if you are living in a multi-faith suburb. As a human, you have the chance to know how the people performing their duties in different religions. I think Auburn is a very good suburb to live, but sometimes unfortunate things are happening in Auburn, so people are scared and panic. But you have to keep faith in law and order.
Jatin Kumar Bhatt is the priest of the local Hindu temple that was recently attacked. Late one evening, 8 rounds of bullets were shot at the empty building. Diversity and difference, as well as being enriching and energising, can also be challenging. Especially in the case of Auburn, where there's a high unemployment rate, and according to the Bureau of Statistics, it's the second most disadvantaged area in Sydney.
This is the first Hindu temple in Australia. The name is Sri Mandir, Auburn. And it built in 1976. Now it's going to be a turn on 35 years old. I'm very lucky to perform my duties in this temple.
Now we're standing at the front door. It's on a suburban street, this temple. Lots of traffic going by and planes overhead.
Yeah.
But it looks rather traditional, the design, the architecture of the building. But we're standing right near a metal screen out the front. We actually might go inside and you can describe why this metal screen is here. But let's go inside first where it's a little quieter.
Yeah. Actually, we have just put it this screen because in past years we have attacked by some bottlings and egging. So we don't want to hurt anybody near the front door.
People are throwing eggs and bottles in here. This temple is attacked quite often, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm performing my duties from the last 6 years. And from the very first day till up to this day, several times egging and bottling here. I don't know why the people are doing these things, but it is very unfortunate for the Australia and any religious place.
And a more serious crime has happened rather recently.
Yeah, the attack was done by people by the bullet, and any bullet attack, it's very scary and panic. And if they miss that target, and if the bullet is going to the neighbors as well. So I'm concerned about these people are doing like that. There is no meaning of that, because any religious place has been attacked. Don't identify it is temple, it is mosque, it is church, but it is attack on religious things.
The Hindu temple is not the only place of worship in Auburn that's been attacked over the last decade. Mehmet Saral is the co-founder and president of the Affinity Intercultural Foundation. It was established by a group of Muslims who wanted to promote dialogue between different religious groups and to aid Muslim integration into Australian society. Their offices are above a Turkish Delights sweet shop.
In Auburn, in a suburb which has got a 25% Muslim population and 37% Christian population, we've had issues with attacks against places of worship. After September 11, after Bali bombings, after the London train disaster, all these global events has locally caused problems as well. And the Auburn Gallipoli Mosque, which is most probably the most beautiful mosque in Australia, in its architecture, its splendour, was attacked. They actually threw a Molotov cocktail into the mosque, and they also threw a pig's head on the outside of the mosque, and they also put the word terrorists in front of the mosque. They vandalised the mosque's walls. These events obviously caused a problem for the mosque and the congregation of 2,000, 3,000 people that attend every week. So what they did was, the best thing for us to do is keep 24-hour vigil. People took turns, 3-4-hour shifts each, 6 people at a time, keeping guard around the mosque. They saw a lot of cars going past and screaming out terrorists, etc. But obviously those cars didn't stop. They just went because they saw people in the mosque. So that continued for about 6 weeks of guarding the mosque, and then it stopped. And the mosque committee did notify the New South Wales police and AFP to let them know that these are happening. Police has done their best to help the situation. And after those incidents, the next attack that occurred was about 2 weeks after the Cronulla riots. The Uniting Church Hall was burnt down in Auburn. And the following day, when the media came, they spoke to the then moderator, Jim Mean. They asked him, so did the Muslims do it? And he said, that's nonsense. We have a great relationship with the Muslim community here. And the media straight away created the hate campaign. Not every media outlet. There's been very good ones like the ABC and Sydney Morning Herald have been very balanced. But there is others who haven't. A couple of weeks later, my organization and a few youth went to the church on Ash Wednesday, and the youth had collected $500 amongst themselves and gave that as a donation to the church hall for the rebuilding of it. They had the Ash Wednesday service, and we spoke a few words, and it was a really friendly environment. The Uniting Church Auburn parish is predominantly Tongan community, and it was maybe the first time dialogue was done between that community and Muslims. And that dialogue has continued, that the church minister and others have been invited to Muslim homes in the area for Ramadan iftar dinners, and it's been reciprocated by others. For instance, during Christmas, the church, some of the church groups have called us to their homes for Christmas lunch. We even played cricket outside after lunch.
Very much part of our life. We sing all the time when we're happy. We also sing when we're sad. And we think that the church service on Sunday is not complete unless there's a choir. I am Mele Whakahua Ratcliffe. I'm originally from Tonga. I am a Uniting Church minister. I have been called to Auburn in year 2006, and I am responsible for three congregations in Auburn, which is now predominantly Tongan. I think coming to Auburn have really enabled me to step out of my comfort zone to interact with people of other faith. It has never been part of my Christian journey until I came to Auburn. Not only that, it's being encouraged by my church, Uniting Church, to make it a deliberate part of the mission, of my mission here and the people here in the parish. I have been to mosques in the past as part of my training. I've been to Hindu temple, I've been to Buddhist temple, and that was a good exposure. But then unless you are in an area like Auburn where you are thrust into it, sometimes you have no choice, you have to deal with it and get on with it. And I think it's only enriched my own faith, enabled me to get to know my own faith better when I interact with people of other faith.
What is happening?
We are welcoming to the devotees here. As the devotees are come to the temple, we just put the tikka on their foreheads, and I'm reciting the slokas. Om Swastena Indra Bradashavaha Swastena Po.
So you just come in for a blessing?
Yes, we are actually from Nepal, and we the same religion Hindu, so came here to worship this.
So you're just visiting from Nepal?
Yes, my parents just came from Nepal yesterday, so we came here to visit some temples out here.
So you're living in Auburn, are you?
I'm actually living in Lidcombe.
Another suburb, close by.
Close by, yeah, yeah, that's why.
And do your parents speak English?
Not really.
Okay. Could you ask them if they enjoy this temple? If they've been looking at the deities here on the walls, we've noticed while we've been doing the interview.
Yeah, they're happy to visit because it's in Australia, so generally people don't think that temples are in here in Australia, so they're very happy to visit the temple.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have each and every deities in this temple. Look, you never see the God, I never see the God. This is our feeling. There is one God in any form. You say Ram, you can say Vishnu, you can say Shiva, you can say Allah, you can say Jesus, but it is a God. And we have to faith in our God, but you can prayer in different ways, different forms.
Auburn Diversity Services is a community-based, non-profit organisation committed to addressing the needs of migrants and refugees. It provides services that help to educate, house, employ and settle people in Australia. One of their projects is called Belong in Auburn, and it's managed by Mariam Noor.
The Belong in Auburn project is aimed at encouraging community spirit, encouraging connection, resourcefulness, respect and trust within communities and between communities in the Auburn area. The project comes with its challenges, but it also comes with its great, great experiences.
So what's your cultural background and what do you have to offer the people you help?
I'm of Egyptian background. My mother was Egyptian and my father was of various backgrounds, Turkish, Syrian and Lebanese, but he grew up in Egypt and therefore I speak Arabic and know mostly of the Arabic speaking cultures.
And are you Muslim?
I'm actually Christian. So my father's forefathers were in Turkey and came to Egypt, and my mum has always been in Egypt and she's Orthodox and my dad's Catholic. And in my experience, having been overseas to Egypt, I really had a greater awareness of Islam and a greater appreciation for Islam. I would stay in a Muslim family's home. We've known them for a very long time and they were really hospitable, beautiful people, and they taught me a lot about Islam. And I think from then, I brought that with me as an adult. It's really shaped my view of myself and of my culture and of my understanding of religion and spirituality. And bringing that to Auburn, it makes such a difference to how I view things and what guides my principles in working in Auburn and how I conduct myself with people on a day-to-day basis. The people that I come across can sometimes have differing views to me. They can believe sometimes that if you're not Muslim, then you couldn't possibly understand anything about God, or, you know, that you couldn't possibly relate to them, or they couldn't possibly talk to you because you might maybe have a different understanding than them. And I guess I'm able to relate to people because I can talk to them and they wouldn't even know whether I was Muslim or Christian. And I think sometimes once they find out that I'm Christian, it doesn't matter to them after that because they just feel like they have already related to me. Sometimes people think that it's a barrier, but religion is no barrier. Because after you've had such a down-to-earth conversation with somebody, you really come to appreciate the person for who they are and not what they're affiliated with. I've learnt a lot from being in Auburn. I was very scared at first coming to Auburn. I felt very threatened and very weirded out by all the different people. There's just such a... it's a mixing pot. It's a mixing pot of cultures and traditions and religions. And at first I was just taken aback by it. But then I started to open my eyes to the beauty there is in that. And I started to realise that they're not just different people. They're people and they all have different stories and they have beautiful stories and some have scary stories, and it's amazing. I've come to really love Auburn.
Another group providing services for the local residents is the Auburn Community Development Network. Amaima Sakari is the manager. So does her cultural and religious background impact on her interactions with people who live here?
I'm Lebanese and I'm of Muslim background. You'd think that was easy in Auburn, and it is a little bit, but it's still hard because of the complexities. You've got Saudi Arabian communities who are very new to Australia, who I'm using them as an example, of course, because they're one of the most recent, but we, as even myself, who's been here for over 30 years, has a perception of a particular community. We only know what we really hear on TV or what we think we know or what we perceive to know. And it's not until you really start talking to people and communicating with them and engaging with them at a meaningful level that you start to realise that your perceptions are thrown completely out the window and you've got to start fresh and start to learn what the diversity is within one particular community, such as the Saudi community. The diversity in the language, the diversity... there's so much community politics. You've got people from Afghanistan here from diverse ethnic backgrounds, and that's not really just based conflict. That's conflict that exists for racial or ethnic reasons, and that's coming from overseas. And while it doesn't manifest here in Australia, you still, as a worker, need to be completely respectful and at least understanding of that diversity. Otherwise, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble.
On the back here, now? Okay, now we are going to sing the good morning song in different languages. Okay, yeah, we're going to clap as we sing. Yeah, okay, let's start.
Good morning, some people say. Good morning, have a happy day. Salam alaikum, some people say.
We have a multicultural playgroup targeted at the very young. I really like the saying, tolerance starts young. But the multicultural playgroup is actually quite successful. You can see that the children are enjoying themselves, the mothers are enjoying themselves, and they don't sit in their little groups. And I mean, it's nice for them to sit in their little groups, but they also like to mingle amongst one another, and there is no I or you, it's us. And we also pick a country that we're going to go to on that day, and then we read a book, a cultural story from that culture that we're going to visit. We explore themes related to that, the story or that culture. They like it, they love it. And I think that's, for me, it's very encouraging. It feels like we're doing something, we're making a difference, and those barriers are being broken indirectly without very much effort at all. You find that mothers are so excited to meet other mothers of all different cultures. They just want to make friends, and sometimes it's even to escape the boundaries and the barriers that are put up in their own culture. Sometimes when they come to multicultural story time, they've expressed that they like the fact that they don't belong to any particular group and they're happy to just make friends.
Mariam Noor from Auburn Diversity Services and the kids' playgroup singing the good morning song in English, Arabic, Farsi, Karen, Hindi, Tamil and Mandarin. On ABC Radio National, you're listening to Encounter, which is coming to you from the multi-faith Sydney suburb of Auburn. Teaching small children about other cultures is indeed valuable. But what happens with teenagers here? Najiba was a Fadost.
As a youth support officer working in Auburn Diversity, I have come along with many Afghan youth that they have had problems. They say that I'm going to school and loving the atmosphere around me, and it's just beautiful to learn about like different food, different religion, the history of, for example, of Anzac Day. And then when I come home, I have my own culture that I need to also keep within me. So sometimes they're confused. They're still trying to find out where they fit in.
Can we have the music off for a second? Yes. Okay, welcome boys. We're here at the Granville Boys High School and Auburn Youth Centre Get Ready program, the first one for Term 2. We are joined today by the fabulous Murmur from MTC Work Solutions in Bankstown, who's going to be joining us for the whole of this term as we work on a music and film project together. So what I'd like you to do is just go around the room and introduce yourselves and say hello to Murmur.
Hello, my name's Armand.
Hi, my name's Ahmed.
Hello, my name is Jonah.
Hi, my name's Sergen.
Hi, my name's Aaron.
Hi, guys. Okay, my name is Murma. I'm Lebanese, so I understand the Arabic language. So, careful, guys. I come from MTC Work Solution. I am the multimedia artist and facilitator, so I'll be filming you guys and creating with you guys a video clip with Ryan. He's going to be producing the music, and we'll be producing the video side to it.
My name's Ryan Bunnell. I'm the Youth Work Coordinator here at Auburn Youth Centre. The Granville Boys High School program is called Get Ready. It started in 2007, collaboration with Granville Boys and Auburn Youth Centre. The Granville Boys that come here are students who are at severe risk of disengaging completely from school, and there may be mild intellectual disability as well involved, and also sort of anger management issues and stuff. So the thinking was that we could offer a program here that combined sort of recreational and educational life skills content for 4 hours a week, which would go towards their school credit and so forth. So, a couple of you said you like music. I've heard you all at various points listening to hip-hop on YouTube and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, is it fair to say that you all love hip-hop?
Yeah.
Yeah? What about in terms of these hip-hop songs, do you pick up on what they're singing about, the lyrics?
Yeah, they talk about their loss and that,
or message or something, or
love.
Gun.
Ah, good one. Excellent. Waiting for that. Guns. Guns and weapons.
Smoking
what?
Drugs.
Yeah.
Cigars.
Yeah.
Do the boys that come here, they come from religious backgrounds, and do they know about their religions? Do they have relationship with their religions?
The boys here come from a number of religious backgrounds. In my experience, it's something that's not spoken about a whole lot. It more happens in conversation when you're doing something else. So like on a school holiday excursion, for example, you're sitting on the bus together driving to the pool. You know, what do you do on the weekend? Oh, I play drums in church. Oh, cool. So you go to church a bit. Yeah. I play drums in the band. So conversations alongside a young person rather than direct. Let's talk about religion. It's really interesting dichotomy, I think, between inherited religious traditions and sort of the way lives are lived and some other attitudes. We had some people here and we had a barbecue on, and around the barbecue, the young people were having a conversation, a group of boys, about girls, and they were using some very derogatory terms, which is apparently normal. But then when it came to sort of have the meat, they wanted to know if it was halal. The assumption that it's okay to talk about girls as being, in, you know, this, doesn't seem to register that that might be not congruent with their faith. Or worse, they might see it as being congruent with their faith.
Do you pull them up when they say things like that?
Absolutely, we do. Yeah. It's not like I'm expecting when I say, well, don't you think that's a bit weird that you're worried this is halal, that you've just spoken about another of God's creations like that. I'm not expecting when I say things like that for attitudes to be changed. It's more an ongoing process of just little by little presenting different views and triggering different thoughts. Oh, not everyone thinks this way. Some people have different views. I wonder why. That's the goal. We are a secular youth centre. Although we have people on staff from different religious traditions, we very much promote tolerance and acceptance and dialogue as well. We've had some instances in the past of religion, for example, being an issue with some young people that drop in, and that runs counter to our philosophy here. And so we've had to deal with that.
What was that? I mean, can you elaborate on that?
Mm-hmm. The last three times, and these are the only three in the time I've been here, it's been Christian and Muslim relationships and there being a bit of tension and some derogatory stuff being said that's escalated into punch-ons.
How do you deal with that?
Well, moment of honesty here. According to our policies, if a punch-on happens, I'm meant to stand back and watch it happen. But this one turned nasty and I can't explain it. Just my initial reaction was to get in the middle of it and break up the punch-on because it was involving other people. Table got broken, things got turned over, girl got knocked over in the fall. So I broke up the fight. And then I said to them both, come with me, and we went and had a mediation session. And I started to get them to talk about what their faith meant to them and how important it was to them. And I highlighted some similarities between what they were saying. And I said, don't you think that it's much better to concentrate on those similarities here and respect that, you know, you both have different traditions, but these are the common ground, and both of these traditions talk about the importance of respecting others and not being violent and that kind of thing. So, and by the end, they shook hands, and the next day they were best friends. It was weird, but there hasn't been a problem with those two since. Have a look at all those things on the board there that we've listed. So this is all hip-hop themes. Cars, motorbikes, dancing, nightclub, parties, money, drinking, girls, wrong representation, gangster, that's with an A at the end, by the way, feeling superior, guns, weapons, smoking, drugs, and gambling. Another word is rich, like, and how if you're not rich, then you're somehow not as good.
You ain't got nothing.
You ain't got nothing if you don't have cash. So, the next question I'm going to ask requires you to be really honest with yourself. You don't have to share details, but of all those things listed on the board, how many of them are really relevant to you? How many of those things represent your life at the moment?
So, Ryan, why are you involved with these boys? Why are you doing this work?
I grew up, my dad is a minister, and I had a lot of anger as a teenager, and I hated that he was a minister for a lot of it. And I guess I resonate strongly with feeling like you've got this thing that's part of your identity, but you hate it at the same time. It wasn't until years later I ended up studying theology. It wasn't a calling of God, study theology. It was something to do. And I started it and found out, hey, I'm really quite good at it, and I loved it. But I started to have just this nagging sense that there was such a big separation between theological reflection and the audience of theology, which is white middle-class people that have the luxury of being able to read books and the luxury of being able to reflect endlessly on ideas. Such a big difference between that and practical experience of people in the world. And I heard through a friend about this job at Auburn, and I knew about Auburn as a community. I thought it would be challenging to my theology for a start to come and work here, to say, okay, you know, I've read all these people. What does that actually mean in such a context like Auburn, where you're one faith amongst many? So that was very challenging and great, I must say. But it also really cemented to me the real passion for work with those people that are marginalised and that are going through a really crappy time because of situations that are out of their control most of the time. And I still read theology. I read it differently now. I read it with a sense of irony almost. I read some theology for comedy. I resonate still, I guess, with liberation theology, which from the Catholic tradition with oppressed groups in Latin America. That's a branch of theology that I'm still very much interested in. And I read a lot about Islam. I'll go down on record as saying Islam still confuses me greatly. I very much like aspects of Islam, and I'm very confused on other aspects of it as well.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Imam Bilal Askoy from the Auburn Gallipoli Mosque reciting the Quran. In response to the rounds of gunfire aimed at the Sri Mandi Temple a couple of months ago, Mehmet Sarau from the Affinity Intercultural Foundation arranged Muslim, Christian and Hindu leaders to speak publicly about peace and harmony in Auburn.
We had this very important sheikh, Imam coming out from Malaysia, who's a descendant of a very great Muslim Sufi saint, Abdul Qadir Jailani. We thought it would be a good opportunity to ride on that, this great speaker coming and explaining the how Islam feels about these things. Islam doesn't allow attacks against a place of worship or attacks against any human being. One life in Islam is very precious. Doesn't matter whose life that is. Killing one person, according to the Quran, is like killing the whole of humanity. Saving the life of one person is as if you have saved the life of all of humanity. And last night's event, we brought those Hindu religious leaders and Uniting Church minister, as well as the Auburn Gallipoli Mosque Imam, together in unity, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, condemning these attacks to prove to everyone out there who doubts it that people of faith in Auburn have no problems with each other. We coexist without any issues whatsoever. Islam has always been a religion that portrayed dialogue with other faiths, because in the Quran it says very clearly in chapter 49 verse 13, we have created you from Adam and Eve into different nations and tribes so that you may get to know one another. So the Quran tells us we must do intercultural dialogue, interfaith dialogue. It's an obligatory act upon Muslims. The people who are doing these attacks, who have done it to the mosque, who have done it to the Uniting Church and to the Hindu temple, have all done it in the name of crime. These are criminals, no matter if they're called Raj, Muhammad, Ali, or Kevin, or John. Doesn't matter what their name is, they're all criminals.
What Jesus said when he was asked what is the greatest commandment, he said to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you do that, according to Jesus, you'll fulfill all the law. And I think it is true, because you can't claim to love God and you hate your neighbor, because God and neighbor, I would like to think of it as the two sides. They're not the same, but you can't do the other without the other. And I think if you have that in your heart and you believe that is the greatest commandment, then you can relate to every human being as your neighbor. Your neighbor is not necessarily the person who look the same or speak your language or eat the same food as you are. They can be strangers that you meet on the street, it can be, or the shopping center. And I think if we all have that knowledge and live by that knowledge, then I think it is easy to go across from one culture into another, or one's faith into the other, because you will see the image of God in every person.
The Affinity Intercultural Foundation has initiated many projects that bring people together with the intention of cultivating understanding through conversation. Mehmet Sarral again.
We had home encounters program, a Christian-Muslim home encounters, where five Muslims and five Christians would get into a home and they'd discuss each other's respective faith traditions on six different topics, like family and marriage, spirituality, monotheism, prophethood, etc. We'd alternate 1 month in a Christian home, 1 month in a Muslim home. It was a 2 to 2.5 hour session every month. It went for 6 months. At the end of it, a very close bond of friendship was formed, and those families visited each other. So that was called Christian-Muslim home encounters, but then we did one Hindu-Muslim home encounters, where we had Hindu youth and Muslim youth meeting once a month over a six-month period. And the topics were different. Obviously, family and marriage was there for both. Spirituality was there for both. So we've done one like that, and I think we can continue it with the temple in Auburn as well. That'd be good.
And how do your neighbours respond to these acts of violence? Because they may be very frightened too. I mean, how do they get on with you as a family, as a Hindu family living next door?
Yeah. The neighbours are very good. Neighbours are very lovingly and they are very cooperative. Our neighbours give the good support and the counselling to my family as well. We are here, don't worry, because I'm the priest, I have to perform my duties in different places as well. So they are telling, priest, don't worry for your family, we are here, we are looking after them. Within these two streets, we have two or three Muslim friends. They are also coming to the temple, and they also give me a support. We have their Christian neighbors. They are also supporting us, and they are used to come to the temple, and we invite them on the occasion. There is a big festival. So they are very familiar with us.
The Sri Mandir Temple and the priest's house beside it are set on suburban blocks between weatherboard and brick homes a little way from the centre of town. In comparison, the Auburn Central complex consists of high-rise buildings, which contain 474 apartments and a shopping centre. So let's look at how neighbours interact with one another in such close quarters. Amima Sakari is the manager of the Auburn Community Development Network, which is on the ground floor of Auburn Central.
This place was marred by very negative media attention because of some very serious incidents. So a few years ago there was a murder in the complex. There's been a history of vandalism, and it's a space where young people just hang out, which is good, but it's the problem with the space, of course, is that it lacks a lot of recreational or youth-friendly facilities. So what we did was because we're a part of the space, and we kind of felt a sense of ownership of trying to go out there and learn a little bit more about who our neighbours are, to try and create a sense of space and a sense of place for the actual communities that live upstairs. Of course, one of the major problems is nobody knew who lives upstairs, so there was no indication of the demographics. Who are they? Where do they come from? How long have they been here? And 474 apartments is quite a large number. So what we did was we launched a project after a couple of years of research called 474 Stories High. So the idea was that we would try and talk to as many people as we can and engage communities in various activities. So we did a series of community barbecues. We even did karaoke, outdoor karaoke. We did table tennis competitions, outdoor tea salons, which is basically just taking somebody's living room and simulating it in an outdoor space and serving tea. Because what we knew in Auburn was that so many people, if not everybody, drinks tea, but nobody drinks it together. So certainly in Auburn Central, what happened was quite overwhelming.
بطاقة بريدية من Auburn. Postcard from Auburn. أخي العزيز، لم أعد أشعر بالحنين إلى الوطن. مأكولاتنا متوفرة هنا. Dear brother, I have no feeling of homesickness. No problem of finding my type of food. No problem if I speak my language in the streets of Auburn. Halal food is easy to buy. Mosques are everywhere. Women wearing hijab are walking in the streets with freedom. Coffee shops are serving argila. In the streets of Auburn, you will see faces from different places. I think the world is living in Auburn.
Dear brother, I hope your application for emigration to Auburn will be successful. Best regards, Saleh Sakaf.
So who did you find? Who was drinking tea? Who was playing table tennis?
Well, what we found was that the demographics upstairs, or the stories, I should say, of the people who live upstairs come from, there's a significant proportion of international students. Almost half of the population who live upstairs, easily from the Asian continent. Most of them are from China. Most of them are young who live upstairs. There are quite a significant number of families, including Iraqi and Afghan refugees. There's a large Arabic-speaking community, so they would make up, most of them, apart from the Iraqi families, are international students from Saudi Arabia, from Egypt, or from Jordan. There are Koreans, and there's quite a large number of Indian and Pakistani, so the Indian subcontinent, and a few Bangladeshis. And together, what it makes is a very interesting conversation over a cup of tea. What we found quite fascinating is that we found people building relationships with neighbours they didn't even know they had. So not long ago at one of our barbecues, we met this man. I was actually just watching them trying to have a conversation, of course, because English is limited. And it turned out that they were literally right across the hallway from each other, and they'd never known that. The other interesting thing I found is that you've got so many of the men upstairs who are Muslim, for example, and there is a significant proportion, go and pray at one of the local mosques together. And you'll see them walking around, and they'll be walking from the same direction coming from the mosque, and then they'll disperse into their own apartments. So you have conversations between people who share a common faith, who never knew each other and would guess at what their cultural background is. So it's like, oh, you're Afghani, you look a bit Chinese, you know, and it's those kinds of conversations that you're hearing, and we try and engage in them, but more often what we do is we're serving the tea, we're kind of coming in at a point where we can start asking questions about what is it then that you feel like you need us to help you with. And for most people it's like, you need to do more of this stuff. I need to know who lives here. I need, you know, this is my neighbour.
Najiba Wazafadost was a child when her family escaped Afghanistan and came to Australia by boat. That was 11 years ago. And now, while she's studying for her second degree at university, she's also working as an Afghan youth support officer at Auburn Diversity Services.
Leaving my country, Afghanistan, was one of the most hardest decisions for me and my parents to make. But we took on that decision because in order for us to live, in order for us to stay alive, was to come to Australia. So being through those sort of experiences in trauma and war under persecution in Afghanistan has given me a broader view of what people could go through. For example, when I had somebody coming up to me and talking about settling well in Australia, coping at high school because they never have had access to education or things like that, I could relate myself to it, and it was easy for me. From my own personal experience, I remember that my initial arrival in Australia, it was a cultural shock. When I actually went into a school where there were girls and boys mixed, I actually start telling myself, whoa, where am I? Because that was something that in my country I wasn't allowed due to religion. Our schools were always separate if there was a school. And religion does play an important role in people's life, I believe. But what I have learned, once again, living in Australia, living as an educated woman in Australia, that doesn't matter what religion people have in Auburn, they respect one another. Actually, that religion sometimes brings them closer to one another. They do not use religion as a tactic or as a politic to play something along. They've learned that regardless of what religion you are, you need to respect people, because that's what Australia has taught me and my community.
Let's go back now to the Sri Mandi Temple. After the attacks earlier this year, the Hindu community has been assessing whether to leave Auburn and relocate the temple or not. Resident priest Jatin Kumar Bhatt.
A lot of people wish to move this temple from here. A lot of people are telling that we have to keep this temple here. We leave this issue on the community because this is a community temple. Community have made one committee, and committee is going to be take the decision what we have to do. But as a priest and as a human being, where we can go, because this is a problem we are facing from the last several years, and lot of people like police and lot of authorities are working on that to resolve this problem. We have to give them some time to resolve this problem. If we are moving from this place to the other place, it is insulting of the police, it is insulting of the Council of Auburn, it is insulting about the Australian government, because only a problem is there and we are moving. We have to keep faith in the law and order, and sometimes the place is known as a first Hindu temple, and it is a very sad thing if we are moving from here. Personally, as a priest, I'm not believing we have to move from here.
From my understanding of the last few years of working here anyway, there's never been a religious-based clash, but there's certainly racism. And I think that's a natural thing to happen for people who don't have the knowledge about who other cultural groups are. And what I think is now starting to happen is that people are a lot more comfortable in asking the hard questions that they normally wouldn't ask before. So just at the shopping centre the other day, this little girl, she's Anglo-Australian, this little girl, I was in the shopping line, and she points to this woman who is wearing a burqa. And she says to her mum, "Mum, why has she got that on her head? Like, what's wrong?" This is a little girl. I think she was no more than 5 or 6 years old. And the mother was really lovely. She said, the mother apologised, and the woman said to the mother, "Oh, don't worry, she's a child. Of course, she's allowed to ask." And this woman had a conversation with the other woman. The mother and the woman had a conversation. I was in the line about why she wears the burqa. And really interestingly, the mother of the child, right there and then, explained to the girl what the woman had said in basic English to a child, and added at the end, "But, you know, you have to be careful. Like, you have to ask questions really nicely. Don't point at people. It's really rude." And I think that's really important, because it might have taken a child, but it's good to know that people are comfortable with having those exchanges and those, you know, and that's in a shopping aisle, you know, waiting to be served. It's just that breaking that kind of barrier, it's a very fine line, and all it really takes is a really nice question. And I always encourage people to ask questions, because most people, if not everybody, you'll find will be happy to answer them.
Amaima Sakari from the Auburn Community Development Network. That brings us to the end of this encounter. My thanks to the people of Auburn for answering all my questions. You can find details about this program, a transcript, and some photos of the suburb and the people who live and work here on our website at abc.net.au/rn/encounter. Technical production today was by Timothy Nicastri and Judy Rapley. I'm Kerry Stewart, and it's been good to have your company.